like Jesus is threatening folks with something bad if they don't start rule following right away. And to be fair, this part of the gospel has been used that way. But you know, I don't think that's quite right. Gospel means good news. And where's the good news in the threat? No, I think Jesus is seizing an opportunity, a teachable moment, if you will. Folks are all on Twitter with the news of some particularly nasty executions. Pontius Pilate, the Roman governor, and not a nice person, according to the historians, rather nasty in fact, has had some people who had gone to Jerusalem executed, and their blood mixed with their sacrifices, that they were, like good Jews of the time, bringing to the temple. Besides the horror factor of the execution, it adds insult to injury, because adding blood makes the sacrifices unsuitable, unusable, according to the religious rules. They can't be used as a sacrifice anymore. So Pilate is effectively having them killed and then spitting on their grave. But Jesus doesn't commiserate in the discussion about how awful it is for the executed folks, for their families. No, he goes a different direction. He asks people to consider their own reaction. Was it the fault of the executed Galileans? Something they did or didn't do? And how about the 18 people killed in the collapse of a tower? Was it their fault? Don't we do that? Look for the reasons bad things happen. Try to apportion blame or responsibility. We humans want things to make sense. We want reasons and explanations. We want to know who's to blame. And when things don't make sense, sometimes people will grasp at any explanation, no matter how dumb. We try to insulate ourselves from randomness. And sometimes there is a reason or an explanation. But very often there's no reason why one person in a situation should suffer consequences and another person doesn't. Christians are no different than others in falling into this kind of magical thinking that if we just done something different, bad things wouldn't have happened. It's a human tendency to seek meaning, to find patterns, even when there is no pattern. Jesus uses this as an opportunity to offer a different way. But a way that's more difficult because it leaves behind the who or what is to blame question and diverts that energy from the taking of other people's inventory, as the 12 step groups would say, to taking our own, to repenting. That word's literally translated as turning around. Turning around from our keeping up with the Joneses evaluation of how other people's lives are being lived, to looking in our own. Because you never know when your time's up. Jesus urges folks to make these changes now. Not because of some grand trial before an angry and judgmental God, but because suddenly it can happen to anyone. And then it's too late. It's too late to make good on those one day I'd like to, or to make up with those persons from whom we might be estranged. It's too late to become the kind of person that New York Times columnist David Brooks admired when he wrote about having a moral bucket list, becoming the kind of person who radiates goodness. The kind of person, as Brooks describes, who has eulogy virtues rather than resume virtues. The kind of repenting, turning around that lets us confront those things we don't much like about ourselves. Things we don't much want to face. Not to beat ourselves up, but in order to be differently in the world. To be differently with other people, and to be differently with God. Things like personal tendencies, truthfulness, reliability, all those usual sorts of virtues. But also relational recognizing our own privilege. Our privilege as the right color, the right socioeconomic background, the right education, the right gender expression, and our societal tendencies toward preserving our planet for the future, toward living in harmony with others who are different from us, toward ensuring those folks who are hurting in some way, toward ensuring children and elders and those who can't possibly take care of themselves are taken care of, aren't taken advantage of, because we're all connected to each other. Learning to repent, to recognize, to face up to these things, not to beat ourselves up or others about it, but to become more fully who we're intended to be. God loves each and every person more than anyone you've ever been loved by, just as we are. Repent isn't a condition of that love. But because God, like any good parent, has hopes and dreams of what we might be, what our best self is, what we might become, if only there's time.